The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Bell to Bell. I am your host, David Sears. We are right here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DavidSears75. I'm also on Instagram at DavidSears1982. It was a busy week of establishing storylines in wrestling, and we'll get to that. But first, let's start off with some of the rumors that are going out there around the wrestling world. According to Fightful Select, there were several wrestlers who said they would leave the company if CM Punk was allowed back after the media scrum at All Out last year. However, things backstage have cooled off since then. It doesn't sound like anyone is planning to walk out due to his upcoming return at Collision on June 17th. Fightful Select also adds that Jay White's name is on the list of wrestlers who could be early opponents for Punk after he returns to AEW. Wrestling Observer Radio's Dave Meltzer said AEW wasn't hurt by WWE's decision to book NXT Battleground head-to-head against Double or Nothing. It appears that NXT viewership was significantly down for the previous two NXT specials. I think that's stupid. I understand why you're wanting to do it on Saturday to get the big first rush on Saturday. So you'll do Crown Jewel, Night of Champions, Clash at the Castle, all of that. I totally get that. But I don't think you should put NXT against AEW. We've seen before when they went head-to-head on Wednesday nights, NXT kept losing to AEW. I don't think that is a wise move by the WWE. You don't have the star power of AEW right now in NXT. It's a lot of guys that are homegrown, a lot of folks that are part of the WWE developmental, not that many indie guys that are very popular. Also, Carlito has been spotted in Orlando this week, possibly around the Performance Center. We will see if it's his return to the WWE after what he did down at Backlash. He got a big pop for his return, courtesy to Pro Wrestling Insider Elite for that. Wrestling Observer Newsletter notes that AEW had less time to prepare for this year's Anarchy in the Arena match due to the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas hosting an NHL playoff game the night before. Wrestling Observer Network also says a lot of ideas for the match were shot down because of things that happened in last year's match. Fun fact, Matt Jackson had to get a Nevada State Fire Performer's license to use the exploding superkick spot in the Anarchy in the Arena match. And also, Wrestling Observer mentions the WWE is expecting to use September 9th as the date for the first major show in India in years. Some other returns possibly coming up. We may be getting The Fiend coming back, according to the UK wrestling site Fight Fans. Their sources claim talks between Bray Wyatt and the WWE have been off and on since Royal Rumble, but there's no movement currently on making The Fiend making a return. I would love to see The Fiend come back. I thought Uncle Howdy. I think there's still a lot of room to till with that, and I hope we get that back. We also found out from Jason Baker, the man who designed The Fiend and the other Wyatt characters, that all the mask molds were destroyed last year for The Fiend. And he tweeted that out in response to another site's covering of the Fight Fan story. New Japan officials are under the impression that Mercedes Moné suffered a severe sprain without a break at Resurgence, per Fightful Select. Their source close to Moné says there's still fear of a break, and NJPW doesn't seem to have anything imminent planned for her right now due to the injury. Also, Mercedes supposedly made the call to end the match and changed the finish to Willow Nightingale winning the NJPW Strong Women's title when she realized she was injured. That, according to Fightful. And Layla Hirsch, the mighty, mighty woman who's 5 foot of fury with AEW, tore her ACL. She is getting ready to return to AEW. She resumed in-ring training back in late February. Some happy news, as over the weekend, the real life couple of Emma and Riddick Moss got engaged. It looks like that they will be joining Omos, whose wedding either is happening or just happened, and the two announcements of Carmella and Alexa Bliss as pregnant. So congratulations to all of those people with their big personal milestones and that. Hope that Moss and Emma have a great relationship. They were teamed together back when Emma, real name Tennille Dashwood, returned to the WWE last October, 5 years after she was released. And they were assigned to Raw in the recent draft. So hopefully they'll have a long, happy marriage, and congratulations to them. Congratulations to Alexa Bliss. Congratulations to Carmella. And congratulations to Omos for all of those big personal life-changing announcements. Also, some rumors are going around that Pac will be returning shortly to AEW. He supposedly had some visa issues right after they lost the Game 7 of the Trios Championship Series with the Elite back in January. He's also been recovering from a broken nose. He had to get his nose fixed. But he was still wrestling with a bad nose and had to wrestle with a face mask, basically what the NBA players use when they break a bone in their face. I hope Pac will be back for All In at Wembley Stadium. That's the goal. I mean, it would make sense. He is one of the premier English wrestlers, so that would be a big one to do. We also had a great house show by AEW yesterday. I'm recording this on Sunday, so yesterday would be Saturday night. And it was a really pretty decent crowd, about, I'm going to say about 3,500, 4,000 people there at the Von Braun Center. Opening match was Max Caster versus Tony Nese. Tony Nese, of course, insulted everyone saying we're all fat, tried to lead us through an exercise session. Max Caster came out, cut a pretty good rap, talking about the Crimson Tide and getting over. Jeff Jarrett and Satnam Singh defeated the boys. Karen Jarrett was with Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett opened the match by grabbing the mic and saying, I have three words for you, go Big Orange. And, of course, Huntsville is kind of Tennessee, so it got a mixture of cheers and boos. TBS Championship was up next with Chris Statlander and Lady Frost. To me, that was the match of the night. I really enjoyed seeing Statlander go at it, and I really enjoyed seeing Lady Frost for the first time in person. I've only seen her on television and internet matches. I've never actually been able to see her in person. She is a very talented woman. I hope we get big things from her in the future. Also, that started a trend for the night. They traded cartwheels, and that became the thing for the night. People started demanding cartwheels in every match. We also had Kyle Fletcher of the Empire and Aussie Open defeat enhancement talent. Hook, Matt Hardy, and Jeff Hardy beat Preston Vance, Ethan Page, and Big Bill. The match was for control of Ethan's contract. After the match, Matt Hardy made Ethan do the Hardy dance, hang around and get autographs and pictures for fans, which was pretty neat. That was the match before intermission, and they went around. Matt Hardy went all over the arena getting pictures made to with fans, and so did Jeff, and so did Ego and Hook. So that was a pretty cool thing to see there, actually getting out there with the fans. Seems like a lot of what you'd see in an indie wrestling show where the wrestlers meet up with the fans at intermission. After we got back from intermission, Sean Spears came out and is working a heel gimmick again, took on Powerhouse Hobbs, who's working a face gimmick. Powerhouse dominated Sean Spears. Juice Robinson defeated local talent Pat Buck wearing a Bobby Eaton shirt. Bobby Eaton from Huntsville, Alabama. Juice Robinson rocking that rock hard look. It was fun. He got over with some great heat. Very devious. Looking forward to see what he can do with Bullet Club Gold with Jay White. Then we had the co-main events, and it was the AEW Women's World Championship with Britt Baker, DMD, versus Sky Blue, Anna Jay, and champion Toni Storm. Toni Storm gets the victory in a really solid match. She used the green spray paint to her advantage a couple of times, but it came after Britt Baker hit her finisher on Sky Blue. Then Anna Jay threw out Britt Baker, Toni Storm threw out Anna Jay, and then pinned Sky Blue for the match, or for the victory. And then the main event was Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin versus Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic Matt Menard. It started off with Garcia saying Matt Menard had travel issues, so he was not going to be able to make it. Matt Menard came out through the crowd and attacked Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. They went after Orange Cassidy's ribs with the skateboard several times, and he was taken to the back. So Darby Allin had to fight one-on-two for a majority of the match. Orange comes out, gets a big pop as he makes the hot tag and gets the victory. Orange punch for the victory. It was a fun match. It was a lot of fun. People were excited to see that. And then there was Liam. Liam dressed up as Orange Cassidy, maybe a 10-year-old kid. He gets in the ring, gets with Orange. Orange gives him his sunglasses and let him hold the TBS title. And yes, it was amazing. We got a cartwheel from Liam, which was absolutely over with the crowd. The place went nuts for it. It was so crazy. It was absolutely crazy that the cartwheels were the thing and that were demanded in every match. So that was fun. Also, early this morning, New Japan Wrestling's Dominion occurred, and we have the competitors for the G1 Climax, the 33rd edition of the G1 Climax. Obviously, Okada is in it, Naito's in it, Sanada is in it, Will Ospreay, Hiroshi Tanahashi, making his 22nd consecutive entry into the G1 Climax. David Finlay was in it, Shota Umino, Shingo Takagi, Tomohiro Ishii, my boys Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Hikuleo. Hiroki Goto was in it, Yoshihashi, Toru Yano, Kenta, Zack Sabre Jr., Tai Chi, Eddie Kingston of AEW will be in it, El Phantasmo is in it, Ren Narita, Evil, Chase Owen, Jeff Cobb, Great O'Conn, Aaron Hanare, Gabriel Kidd, Alex Coughlin, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, Yota Tsuji, and Kaito Kiyomiya. Forgive me, I forget his pronunciation. So, pretty solid cat stack. I think we're going to go with the four blocks again like they did last year. We don't have the block assignments yet, but I'm hoping that with Eddie Kingston being in it and Lance Archer and the Black Cool Combat Club working Dominion, that we will get more people in New Japan from AEW. Dominion occurred this morning. Will Ospreay defeated Lance Archer for the number one contendership for the IWGP US title. So Ospreay versus Omega will occur at Forbidden Door. Titan, Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito defeated Taichi, Duki, Yoshinobu, Kanemaru, and Taka Michinoku. We also had the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match with Catch 2-2 beating the Intergalactic Jet Setters to get the new titles. Zack Sabre Jr. defended successfully his New Japan World TV Championship against Jeff Cobb. The IWGP and New Japan Strong Tag Team Championship match had Bishamon defeating House of Torture and Aaron Hanare and Great O'Conn. Bullet Club War Dogs, Alex Coughlin, and Gabriel Kidd attacked Bishamon after the match. Never Openweight Championship match was David Finlay versus El Phantasmo. David Finlay gets the victory. Hiromu Takahashi defeats Master Wato to retain the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Now, the six-team Never Openweight Championship match was supposed to go on earlier in the show. However, Claudio Castagnoli had travel issues and literally arrived in his gear, put his gear on in the car to get there, and went on second-to-last match, where Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi defeated Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Shota Umino. After the match, Daniel Bryan came out and challenged Okada. So we're getting possibly Okada versus Bryan at Forbidden Door. And then the main event was Sanada versus Yota Tsuji. Tsuji gets the loss to Sanada. Sanada and Just Five Guys celebrate. Sanada's a great champion. I'm so glad he's getting that. I'm really hoping we get him versus Naito at Wrestle Kingdom. That would be an amazing match. So, like I said, after the match with Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi, and the Blackpool Combat Club, we got a pretty cool moment where Moxley takes the mic after the match and said he had a message from the best wrestler in the world, which had Bryan Danielson appearing on the screen challenging Okada for a match. Okada accepted, and Danielson and Okada at Forbidden Door 2, that's going to be a banger. So we have two matches confirmed so far for Forbidden Door 2 with Ospreay versus Omega 2, and then we have Okada versus Danielson. So we're getting there. We're building towards that card. I'm hoping we'll see some more matches announced over the coming weeks. I want people to realize we are in the golden age of wrestling right now. We have pretty much every type of wrestling we could ever want. You have access via IWTV, Peacock for the WWE, New Japan World, Impact Plus. You've got all these great things for you to watch on and enjoy wrestling. And I just think people need to realize this is a golden age of wrestling. And I really want people to quit being so negative about everything. It's amazing to me how bad wrestling fans are towards wrestling. It reminds me of the joke, nobody hates wrestling more than wrestling fans, you know? If you're not a fan of the super kick parties of the Young Bucks, don't watch them. But don't say you're a huge Usos fan who spam their super kicks just as much. It's frustrating to me that people complain and just have to constantly criticize what they're seeing. And I understand some things do deserve criticism, 100%. Totally agree with that. But for the most part, just to nitpick over everything, it's just frustrating. It is absolutely frustrating to me as a fan of wrestling. Let's do some TV recaps. The opening of Raw showed new World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins out in the ring. AJ Styles came out to congratulate him. They're interrupted by the Judgment Day, and they say they will have a tag team match in the evening and that they won't announce who's actually going to be a part of it until the match occurs. Adam Pearce says, yes, that's a good idea. Gets the tag team match. And he says, yes, I know it goes against Raw and SmackDown being separate, but it's what fans want to see. And Pearce is talking to someone above him who had to approve the match, which could we be getting a return of an authority figure? That's not Adam Pearce. We'll see. Is he Commissioner Adam Pearce? First match of the night was Miz versus Ricochet, and it was a solid solid match where Ricochet gets the victory over Miz to qualify. I mean, come on, Ricochet and ladder matches go together like peanut butter and jelly. You gotta have him in there. Then we had a segment where Trish Stratus came out, and her and Zoe Starks were talking about how she was the one that told us to win and how we need to thank her, and she doesn't care about the people because Zoe Stark reminds her of herself from years ago. And Becky Lynch shows up and gets beat down 2-on-1 because she doesn't care. And then after that, to add insult to injury, they put a thank you Trish shirt up against her on the corner. I mean, come on, that's great. I mean, you've got the Outcasts right now spray painting the green L. I'm always down for an NWO spray painting on somebody or tournament or something. Inda Sheer took on some jobbers, gets the victory. Was a funny moment where Veer slipped off the apron as they were getting in, and it was pretty bad. But you know, it happens. It's real life. I mean, it's real time. You don't get to edit it. Then we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on commentary. They were wearing Uso shirts, and they have a match later with American Alpha and Imperium that they will be sitting in on commentary with, which is absolutely hilarious. If you can, go out and watch it. I believe it is on YouTube if you want to do that. That led, of course, to Alpha Academy versus Imperium. And Maxxine Dupree was with Alpha Academy. Gunther was with Imperium. And like I said, it is hilarious with the commentary from Owens and Sami Zayn. Imperium gets the victory. And I wish the match would have had more time. It was only about 6 minutes. So I wish it would have been better. Or more, given more time for that. Then we had the four-man women's tag team titles. Four women tag team titles with Damage Control versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. Your new women's tag team champions are Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. I think that's a pretty good move. Pretty solid. We'll see what happens with that, especially if Ronda is finally healthy and they can just let her go full tilt. I like having them as a tag team. They're two strong MMA women. Shayna Baszler is a woman who's been misused because she's not pretty. Let's face it, Vince didn't like her because she wasn't pretty like the other women wrestlers. But she is a complete and total badass, so I'm hoping this is a good enough shine on her to propel her to bigger things down the line. Next up was JD McDonagh versus Dolph Ziggler. Remember, Ziggler eliminated McDonagh last week in the Battle Royal, and that did not make McDonagh happy. McDonagh just beats the ever-loving crap out of Dolph Ziggler, gets disqualified, and he keeps beating on Ziggler till the refs break it up, so that was pretty good. Out came Cody Rhodes after that to cut a promo, and he says that he wants to be the last, this to be the last time that he lists off all of Lesnar's accomplishments, because while he is a beast enough to break his arm, he isn't man enough to make Rhodes tap out, and that Lesnar is afraid of him. So I don't know if we're going to get the fallout at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank. I hope it's at SummerSlam for the finale of their trilogy. That would be nice. Matt Riddle cuts a promo about how he wants to win Money in the Bank. Gunther wishes him good luck because he wants Riddle to challenge him and cash in on him. It'd be a fun way to beat and humiliate Riddle. We get another qualifying match for the Money in the Bank with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Bronson Reed. Shinsuke gets the victory. It was a good, strong style matchup. Bronson Reed looks strong. Nakamura looks strong as not usual, because they're finally rebuilding him and using him properly. Then the main event after a Memorial Day video was AJ Styles and Seth Rollins versus the Judgment Day. It looked like it was going to be Dom and Damian versus AJ and Seth. But Finn Balor jumps Styles with Dominic going to the floor. Rollins slips away and runs to the floor where he puts his arm around Rhea. And it was a callback to a spot that HBK did with Melina back, I want to say 06, 07. So that was pretty cool. Rollins gets the victory with a curb stomp to Priest. Solid matchup. Pretty fun move. Pretty fun show. All in all, I'd say it was a B-plus show. Again, good what they needed to do. Keep us interested. Keep us moving forward as we head towards Money in the Bank in London. Next up was NXT on Tuesday night. It was a pretty solid show. We had a weaponized steel cage match with Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. And it was just a good, brutal matchup. These two hate each other and beat the ever-loving crap out of each other. Gigi Dolin gets the victory. We'll see if they end this feud now that they finally had a massive match to do it. I hope we do, because they both need to move on from there. We get a recap of what happened at NXT Battleground, including Gallus. Get help from Ava to retain the tag team titles. Wesley defending his North American title. Noam Dar getting help to retain the Heritage Cup. Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak. And then Tiffany winning the NXT Women's Championship while Melo beat Braun to retain the NXT Championship. We're backstage with Wesley and he talks about his 10 successful defenses. Says he's pumped but a bit sore at this time. He says when he won the title at Halloween Havoc, he didn't know how long he'd be riding with him, but here we are. Then the Dyad come up to threaten Lee and Tyler Bates, and the Dyad leave, and Bates says he still has Wes's back. Tony D'Angelo gets a mugshot done. Gallus cuts a promo backstage saying they can't be stopped, and they ask who's next. Tony D'Angelo is in prison. Stax is in saying that... they were the ones that framed Angelo, and he's going to get stitches because snitches get stitches. He gets beat down pretty badly for saying that by Gallus, so don't mess with him. NXT champion Melo came out, cut a promo, and said it was a battle, what he expected. And Noam Dar comes out with Aura, Lash, and Jakara. and basically says that he had a better pay-per-view at Battleground, because while Melo managed to beat Breaker once, he beat Dragon Lee twice. So they got a little talk, and then it leads to some trash talk, and then we get a one-on-one match for the NXT Championship between Dar and Melo. I look forward to that. I hope it happens soon. Dyad took on Tyler Bate and Wesley. Dyad lose to Tyler Bate and Wesley while Mustafa Ali comes in to stop Joe Gacy from attacking Lee and Tyler after the match. It was pretty solid. Then we get Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey cutting a promo as they teach at Chase U and talk about how they are going to face off with Thea and Dempsey later on. And we had a Tiffany Brayton as Tiffany Stratton makes her way to the ring, and she talks about how no one in the locker room can do what she does. She says she had a Tiffany epiphany on the way back from Battleground. Why not give them all an opportunity at her Tiffy title? There will be a number one contenders battle royal this week, but it doesn't matter who's going to win because she's going to beat all of them. It's Tiffy time as long as she wants. Then Thea Hale attacks Tiffany and sends her out of the ring. She gets a dropkick as well. Tiffany throws a tantrum and says it's supposed to be her moment. Trick is on the phone and says it's going to be all right. Lash, Aura, and Jakara walk up and say Melo's going to get whipped by Dar. Trick tells him to buzz off, and it was a pretty fun little interaction there. Then we get Joe Coffey versus Stax, and Joe Coffey just beats the hell out of Stax, which is good because that's what Joe Coffey does. Stax played the underdog, but he just didn't have it in him. Cora Jade versus Ivy Nile was our next match, and Cora Jade getting some momentum. I think she'd be a great first contender for Tiffany because Cora Jade, again, she lost the title in the ladder match where she wasn't 100% to Indy Hartwell. I think it's pretty fun, and I think we'll get a good move towards that. The Great American Bash was announced for July 30th, so we'll have that. And then next week we have Ilya Dragunov returning, Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp, and the NXT Women's number one title contender match. This will happen this Tuesday. Then the main event was Carmelo versus Noam Dar. Of course Carmelo is going to get the victory, but you know what? Dar looks really good in it, and it was no British round rules. It was fun. They're both very talented at what they do. So it was a solid match. And then as Melo poses with the title, as we think the show is closing out, Baron Corbin shows up and drops Melo, beats him down, and holds up the NXT title. So Baron Corbin and Mustafa Ali sent down to NXT for a little bit, which I'm okay with. You know what? If they're not going to use them on the main shows, use them in NXT. Help them continue to stay in ring shape and just help get some of the young guys over. I think it's a smart move. You have three shows, four if you count main event and NXT, NXT Rising, which goes head to head with Rampage. With Rampage on Friday night. Then Wednesday night, we get one of the best shows in professional wrestling, AEW Dynamite. The main event was the Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and Britt Baker versus Jericho and Saraya. But first off, the show that opened the match was Lucha Brothers and Bandido versus the Blackpool Combat Club with Daniel Bryan on commentary. So it was Yuta, Mox, and Claudio. It was an amazing match, really well done. It got everyone up on their feet. Yuta gets the pin again. So it looks like he's going to actually get a pretty decent match at Forbidden Door. Danielson really did a good job of putting Yuta over during his commentary, which is well done. Then we get Bullet Club Gold and Tony Khan's latest announcement tease. Jay and Juice Robinson of Bullet Club Gold say that FTR is nothing, and they challenge FTR to... Well, they didn't challenge him to a match, but it's leading to it. So we get that. Then we get Young Bucks and Hangman Adam Page backstage. They speak with with a reporter and say that Kenny is out of the country, but did not go back to Canada. So that makes me think, and everybody else think, he's going to get Kota Ibushi to deal with Kenesuke Takeshita. Tony Khan makes the announcement that Punk will appear at AEW Collision. It was an interesting reaction. Not everyone was excited, but not everyone was against it. Again, he's a divisive figure. Then we had a triple threat match, Trent Beretta, Swerve Strickland versus Big Bill. And it was a pretty good match. Everyone was hoping for Trent to get the victory, but Swerve gets the victory after that. Then we get a promo from the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass to say they want a shot at getting gold for Daddy Ass one more time before he retires. And they're coming after those Trios championships. They are the guys that will defeat the House of Black. Mogul Embassy surrounded Swerve as he entered the arena, but did not accompany him to the ring. So that was good that he won the match on his own. Then we had Don Callis and Kenesuke Takeshita. It was such an intense promo. It was hard to hear Don Callis because he was getting booed so much by the Dynamite crowd. It was really difficult to hear what he was saying. I mean, I'm pretty sure they boosted his mic, but it couldn't help because they were boosting up the boos that were hitting in the mic because it was deafening in there. I cannot imagine what it was like, but massive heat for Callis. Tanishka cuts a pretty good promo in Japanese. Again, if they don't speak English, don't make them do a butchered English promo. Let them speak in their normal tongue and just let them use their emotions and tone of voice to get over. I think that's a wise move. We'll talk about more of that because we saw a very good example of that on SmackDown Friday night. Then Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin took on the Gates of Agony, and Allin and Cassidy get the victory over the Gates of Agony. It was a pretty solid contest. Again, it was two guys who were underdogs against two massive dudes with the Gates of Agony. And I think it was a pretty solid match. Cassidy just kept getting thrown around. Same with Darby Allin. And Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, and Prince Nana watched from the top of the ramp. So I think we're setting up something with Swerve versus Orange Cassidy down the line for a one-on-one match for the International Championship. Sting came out to help as it looked like we were going to get a massive jump beat down from Nana, Brian Cage, and Swerve Strickland. The pop for Sting, man, still gets over. It was awesome. Hook was getting asked some questions when Jose Preston Vance and Dralistico jumped him. Jungle Boy Jack Perry made the save, clearing the ring, and so we maybe get Jungle Hook back together again. Then we had Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander in a TBS Championship Open Challenge. Statlander gets the victory. Solid match between the two. I like seeing Nyla Rose. She is a formidable heel. She needs to be used more. Then the main event was Adam Cole, Bebe, and Britt Baker versus Chris Jericho and Saraya. The match was pretty solid. It was nothing extraordinary. It was perfectly cromulent, as the Simpsons would say. And I think it was a good move. Now let's see what happens with Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole, Bebe, is your legitimate number one contender for MJF. He's your best face right now. If the Elite are still going off with their battle with the Blackpool Combat Club, then you got to let somebody take him on. Who better than Adam Cole? Bebe. Friday night was SmackDown, and it started with Michael Cole and Wade Barrett welcoming us to the show and saying that they will look back at the highlights of the 1,000-day reign of Roman Reigns with a big presentation at the end from Triple H. Theory comes out, cuts a promo, says that if you combine their reigns, it would be 1,209 days, and he'll probably have his own 4,000-day reign soon, which leads to him insulting Sheamus, who come down or with the Brawling Brutes to fight Austin Theory and Pretty Deadly. Solid tag match. Got three segments to open the show. And we get the victory for the Pretty Deadly. Theory gets the pin after Spilled Milk was hit on Ridge Holland. Solid way to go the show. And then we get highlights of Night of Champions, where Jimmy Uso turned on Roman and leaving the Bloodline. Cuts back to the locker room where Paul Heyman tells Solo Sikoa that he's going to make sure the Usos aren't here tonight. Then we look at AJ Styles, it was his birthday on Friday, wants the OC to take out Hit Row for his birthday. Solid match there. I mean, Hit Row's basically become jobbers right now. Let's face it. Top Dollar was about to go for some cheap shots. When he turns around, he gets a phenomenal forearm. Then we cut back to the back where Adam Pearce is told by Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman is told by Adam Pearce that the Usos' travel has been canceled. There's double security. And then we have Seth Rollins to defend. Breaking news is Seth Rollins will defend the new World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest on Raw Monday night. Get a Grayson Waller effect with Asuka. And Asuka spoke Japanese the entire time, came off as arrogant. She had a little bit of the blue mist dribbling out of her mouth. She looked awesome. And then we get Io Shirai coming out, and they started going at it in Japanese. And Grayson Waller is just trying to handle the chaos. Because, of course, if Io comes out, out comes Bayley. And then we get Shotzi, Lacey Evans, Zelina Vega, and they're all just brawling. That leads to a match between Zelina Vega and Lacey Evans for a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Zelina gets the victory in a short one. Hits a code red for the finish. Roman Reigns highlights are there. Legado del Fantasma praises Zelina Vega for winning the match. And Santos Escobar says he'll do it next week and there'll be Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. Or Miss Money in the Bank. She's married to Aleister Black. Anyway, Malakai Black. Money in the Bank qualifying match for LA Knight versus Montez Ford. Montez Ford is going to be a single star when they finally pull the trigger on that. He and LA Knight have a great match. LA Knight gets the victory to move on to Money in the Bank. He gets a ladder, climbs up, and poses next to the briefcase. Triple H comes out after that to introduce Roman Reigns for his 1,000-day celebration. And we get a new WWE Undisputed Championship belt. It's available online. I think you should go take a look at it. They're sticking with the big WWE. They're not really doing anything individually for the belts to make them different. After that, of course, the Usos interrupt. And they have a really emotional interaction with Roman. Jay is told by Roman to kick Jimmy in the face. Jay says he can fix this, but Jimmy says Reigns is what needs fixing. And then Jimmy talks to Solo and says that Reigns will turn on him just like he's turned on them. And they need to join him. Sikoa goes over to stand next to the Uso, and the place exploded for that. Reigns and Heyman look scared. Jimmy says the Island of Relevancy is going to be lonely. So Reigns goes for him, earning a shove in the face. Jay isn't happy with that. And we have to shut down the audio because there were holy bleep chants. Jay tries to play peace, says we need both of them. Jimmy's like, you know what? You're right. They hug. And then Reigns is thinking that Reigns asks him, are they still the one? As the hug continues, Reigns says no, and Solo Sikoa spikes Jimmy. Jay checks on Jimmy, and Solo and Roman and Heyman leave. Heyman asks Roman about Jay, and Reigns finishes the show with Jay's going to do what he'll always do. Jay's going to do what he always does. Fall in line, he'll fall in line. And that's how the show ends. Emotional roller coaster. Absolutely amazing SmackDown episode. One of the best ones they've had in a while. The Bloodline story is the story of wrestling this year. I don't know how much longer they're going to stretch it out, but I'm hoping we get this at least to SummerSlam. I don't think they'll go all the way to Mania, but I think there's a good chance this gets pushed out for a little while. And then finally, AEW Rampage had four title matches. The AAA mega title with Dralístico, Commander, and El Hijo del Vikingo. Vikingo gets the victory in an amazing match. Look, Lucha Libre is in great hands with the people of AAA. Karen Jarrett and company are backstage, and Jeff Jarrett says that company will not suspend Karen for hitting referee Aubrey Edwards with a guitar. Mark Briscoe shows up, says there won't be, and Aubrey comes in behind Mark Briscoe and starts fighting Karen. So are we going to get a referee versus two non-wrestlers going at it? Because Karen Jarrett, I think she hasn't wrestled since TNA. Then we get a New Japan Pro Wrestling TV title match with Zack Sabre Jr. versus Action Andretti. And, oh, man, Zack Sabre Jr. is the best submission wrestler. I really want him and Bryan Danielson to go at it. I think that would be an amazing match. The NJPW Strong Women's Championship was next with Willow Nightingale versus Emi Sakura. A solid match, and Willow gets the retention. So we'll see where she goes after that. And then we had a Pure Rules title match between Lee Moriarty and Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata gets the victory, and after the match, out comes Daniel Garcia, and he stares down Shibata to end the show. So looks like we're getting Shibata versus Garcia at Forbidden Door. That hasn't been officially announced. It could just be put on an ROH show, but that is what we have for this week in wrestling. Also, keep an eye out. We may be getting some more call-ups from NXT to the main roster. Bron Breakker's been rumored for a while to get the call-up there. And we're also seeing possibly that we'll get some announcements of some future WWE international pay-per-views in the coming weeks. So there we go. Well, it has been a busy show. I'm David Sears. We will be back next week with more wrestling for you. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at DavidSears75. You can follow me on Instagram at DavidSears1982. Follow Tony Curry Radio on Instagram at Tony Curry Radio. Also at Tony Curry Radio on Twitter. So for Tony Curry Radio, I'm David Sears for Bell to Bell saying, have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.